Hey everyone, it's Beauty. Today is our third spotlight in the series, and it's on One Good Favor, which is the second of the two audios that has crossed the 10,000 play count mark on Soundgasm. And by second, I mean alphabetically, it's the second one of the two titles, because of the two audios that did cross that mark, I'm not sure which one crossed first, because when I checked, they were both over 10,000. And when I checked prior to that, that was not the case. So, and like I said, when I posted, they were only literally 10 play counts apart, which is freaky shit. So, One Good Favor was written by My Oral Fixation, who is a writer that I have filled for a few times now. I apologize. I just finished a batch recording session. It's now 5 to 3 in the morning, and I've been recording since about 9 o'clock. So my voice is tired and a little bit rocked. I did 11 audios, and actually I did some vocal tracks as well, singing. So I don't have a whole lot left voice-wise at the moment. So if it cracks or it sounds weird or it does strange things, bear with me. I'm tired. So as I was saying, I have filled a few scripts now for Fix, Center Stage, Wish You Were Here With Us, Slut in a Hut, and now One Good Favor. I believe that's all Fix. Correct me if I'm wrong. I'll have to go back through the catalog. I really do need to get my content table up and running. It is in the works. I was working on it a little bit yesterday, actually, so that is coming. Anyway, side tangent. This audio is kind of a neat little audio. It's not emotionally heavy like I've been doing of late. It's not, you know, a big tearjerker. There's not a couple in it that you're rooting for at the end that are going to end up together. It's a really simple friends to friends with benefits story where, you know, that's the end of the story. They are going to hook up. They're going to scratch an itch. They're going to make a shitty day or week or whatever it was better. And they're going to move on. And they're still going to be friends, which was great. I really like the dynamic of that. When I'm looking at scripts to fill, I don't always go for the emotional heavy hitters, especially when I'm doing batch recording sessions. So I call them batches because when I record, I don't know if I've mentioned this before, when I record, I do anywhere from 6 to 10, 11, 12 audios in a session. And that's because for me, it's a better flow and more productive for me to just go back to back to back to back when I'm already warmed up, my voice is ready to go, my creative energy is flowing, I'm in the zone, and I just, you know, get it done. It's easier and more productive than, you know, doing one here, one there, going in and out of the studio, that kind of thing. So when I'm doing batches, I have to, sorry, again, crazy kitties, I swear to God, they're chasing each other tonight. There's no bugs this time. I don't have bugs in my house. They are crazy. So, because I was thinking about that, I said bugs in the last two times that the kitties have been nuts. And there hasn't actually been bugs. They think there's bugs, but there's not. Now they're chasing each other. So here we are. Anyway, when I'm looking at what I want to record, I have a very set idea of what I want to release. And I know my content needs based on tags, based on performance previously, based on what's been requested, But also I have a very specific flow with how I post my content. And I do that intentionally because I don't ever want there to be like real rhyme or reason to my content. If anybody's actually looked at my table, or anybody's ever looked at my catalog, and it will get easier when the table is up and running, there isn't really, to the outside observer, there isn't really any set structure to it. I kind of record what I want when I want, and it doesn't really make any sense. I think it was Justin said to me, Justin Sidermouth, when we were talking about writing scripts and sort of what I look for in scripts and the types of scripts that I tend to gravitate toward, he made the comment that looking back over what I've recorded, there isn't really a pattern to determine what I'll gravitate toward. And he's right. So when I'm picking scripts, I always have sort of two or three things in mind that I need to achieve. And they are various things, whether it's, you know, I haven't done this tag in a while, or this has been showing up on the anonymous forum quite a bit, or in the DMs as a request, or even something so simple as, you know what, those last two audios would be a great setup for this type of audio. And I think that the audience would appreciate this type of audio in that spot. You know, it's stuff like that. The other side of it is, oh my God, if I have to do another Friends to Lovers and be, you know, that girl again, I'm going to hang up the microphone and never speak again. Because as a performer, I like to have a little variety in what I do. And I do enjoy the Friends to Lovers. I think that the story arcs that the scriptwriters have come up with have been really original and unique. It's just, I really like to have a great darker story every once in a while. I like to dig into something that's a little outside the box for me as a performer, to be able to stretch. So, you know, there's this list that I kind of go into every session with. And one of the things when I know I'm going to be doing a big batch, and I believe the night that I recorded One Good Favor, I believe it was a batch of 8, if I remember correctly. I'd have to look it up in my log, but I'm pretty sure that's what it was. There were 8 audios being recorded that night, which is pretty average. I mean, that's a middle of the road session. And I know at least 4 of them, if I'm remembering correctly, were heavy, like heavy, heavy hitters. And sometimes I just need a script that doesn't require all the emotional lifting, because I'm human. If every script I did required that kind of range and that kind of effort and energy, I would be skin and bones and have just a zombie personality, because every ounce of energy and stamina and whatever I had would go into the audios all the time. And that's not reality, right? So on that particular night, I know I needed something that was going to give me the potential for a fantastic audio. That's always first and foremost. Is this going to make a great audio? Can I make this great script into a great audio? If the answer is no, I don't touch it. But I also needed something that wasn't going to run me ragged in amongst all these other heavy hitters. And I genuinely like Fix's work. I have since I started on GWA, both as a listener and a performer, ever since the first audio I ever heard is a fill of Fix's scripts. And, you know, the first fill of my own that I did, which I believe was Center Stage. So I always have my go-to lists of scripts. And that is, I keep sort of a, not an emergency list, but it's kind of my my rainy day list of scripts that I really want to do, but I haven't found a spot for them yet. So I kind of compile these in the back of my notebook, and my I do have a spreadsheet for this stuff on my computer. So I go to that and I kind of pull up the stuff that doesn't immediately fit what I've been doing lately, and I start sort of combing through the tags and start picking up stuff. And this one jumped out because, first of all, it's a blowjob audio. Blowjob audios, you guys love them because, let's face it, it's literally however long of me giving you a blowjob. Awesome. It's grade A content, right? But it's also, from a performance standpoint, it's a milder performance for me. Still something that I have to work for because it's a character. There's beats that have to be hit. There's nuances that have to be brought forward, especially a character like this that could be not bland because she's not written that way. But if it's not handled properly, she could be very one-dimensional, and you could really just be like, oh, well, so this is just a chick that goes around just doing this to her friends. Awesome. Right. Which, no judgment, whatever, but it's not the character that was created. And if the performance isn't giving you the character that was created, there's going to be a disconnect and you're going to notice it. So, you know, I wanted easier than the emotional heavy lifting, but I still wanted something that I could work with and make my own and, you know, have fun with. And this little script was great for that. So sorry, here comes the yawns. It's also hot as anything in here because I've had to have the air off while I was recording, because even though I'm recording in a sound treated room, the one thing that you can hear is the fucking air conditioner. It's very, very annoying because that should not be a thing, but anyway. So it's very warm in here, which makes me very sleepy, and that doesn't help. Anyway, so I went and I grabbed my list, and this one jumped out at me. It's such a unique concept in a genre that is so overdone, but overdone in a different way. And I hope that makes sense. I mean, Friends with Benefits is a pretty popular tag on GWA. Not as popular as Friends to Lovers, but it's there, right? And the dynamic between the characters was great in that nobody went into this with expectations. You know, there wasn't anything at the end of it where it was like, oh, you have to be with me now and somebody's going to get their heart broken. Oh my goodness, excuse me. Somebody's going to get their heart broken, blah, blah, blah. No. It was so simplistic. And because it was fixed, the dialogue was great. I mean, there was some awesome references in there that just fly. They just sing to you. And as a book geek, as a theater geek, as, you know, someone who has a lot in common with this type of script, I felt it was a great choice. It gave me that little bit of a break while I was recording, and it still gave a fantastic audio because it was based on a really good script. So that was awesome. So I recorded it, and it was a one take audio, which most of them are, but there wasn't a whole lot of stop, I want to try that a different way, or I'm going to record this one line 5 different ways and see what I like. None of that. I think I did that like twice in there because I didn't need to. Like, I knew who this girl was on the page. And I kind of was able to pick out her cadence, her tone, her motivations, you know, everything that made her. And there wasn't a lot of experimentation needed because she was just there. Like, she was a living, breathing thing as soon as I started reading about her, which is really cool. So that was great. So once the audio was recorded, of course, I go into the editing mode, and then I have to decide when I'm going to post it. Well, I wanted to post it I'm pretty sure this one went up on a Monday. So this type of audio is either a Monday or a Friday, because obviously it's not outside the box enough to be a Wednesday audio, and it's very listener centric. So it should actually have been a Friday post, but I think I went out on a Monday with it. I'm actually, you know what? I'm going to look because I don't freaking remember. I think it was a Monday when I posted that one. But I'm legit checking this right now. I hate GWA's way of like laying shit out on mobile because I don't feel like pulling out my computer. So that one was a Friday, Wednesday, Monday, Friday, Wednesday, Monday, Friday, Wednesday. Yeah, it was a Monday. It was actually just about 3 weeks ago now. Holy crap, that thing did like 10,000 play count in 3 weeks. Jesus. Way to go, fixed. Anyway, so it was a Monday audio. Pretty simple. Now, Mondays are an odd animal in terms of performance. You're either going to do well or you're going to friggin' bomb hard. There's very little middle ground on a Monday. And if you bomb hard, the audio will eventually find its place, but it's not something that's guaranteed, first of all. And second of all, it's not anything that happens anytime soon. Like, it's not a quick thing. The advantage that Friday's audios have is that they have 2 days before I post anything else. So they benefit from the weekend, obviously. The weekend can backfire on you too, though. Like, there's been a lot lately about, you know, what days are best to post and, you know, when do you get the most traffic and the most upvotes and blah, 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 blah. And the answer is you don't. There isn't a perfect day for anything. It's literally, if you want to be sporadic, it's hit or miss, or you can, you know, build a schedule and your listeners will start to anticipate your audios and they will flock to them because they want to listen to you and they know when you're going to post. That's just the way I've learned from some of the greats how to do it. So on a Monday, I never know. I have an idea, but I never know what the climate's going to be because it's an odd day. And that was the case with this one. I anticipated it would do all right because, again, blowjob audio, hello. But on a Monday, hard to say. And then, oh my God, it went into the stratosphere. That audio just flew. Like the performance on it. I don't generally spend Monday nights fielding messages and comments, and the anonymous forum friggin' blew up, and there's a lot going on there. So it was something to watch, and I was so incredibly proud of the audio, of the script, you know, of what Fix had accomplished with the script. It was amazing, and it felt really good that you guys all responded to it the way you did. So where I was going with that was I had to look at, when I was putting it together, what will set this apart on a Monday? Because, like I said, Mondays are hit or miss. So I can either just hope that the tags are enough, which they rarely are, hope that people see that it's mine and want to listen, which is arrogant as hell, and I hate thinking like that, and isn't true anyway. Or I got to figure out a way to set it apart that isn't something everybody's doing, right? The way the bulk of the GWA traffic works, I've learned, is you literally get like 10 seconds of an audio for somebody to decide if they're going to give you time for the whole thing. And I needed to wow within that 10 seconds because the script deserved it. I mean, Fix did his job. he did his heavy lifting. He gave us a phenomenal story. He gave us, you know, a terrific concept. So I had to make sure the execution matched. Performance-wise, that's the easy part. It was all the other stuff, the attracting attention stuff and that kind of thing that had to be managed. So when I was editing, I thought this really is a simple script. You know, there shouldn't be a whole lot to it. You know, there's a section in the center sort of about, there's a section in the center sort of about the tea, going to make tea, and there's sound effects and stuff, but nothing, you know, that's mild compared to some of the shit I've done. So that was fine. And then I happened to be on the Fesslian site, which is the one I use for sound effects and stuff. And I was looking for a piece of music for, because all their stuff is royalty free and free use. And they literally produce this stuff to give away to content creators for videos and advertising and stuff like that for free. And so I was on there looking for something for another project. And I stumbled across the what became the music in the second half of the audio. And I kind of sat still and just listened, because it made me think of what was about to happen between these two characters. And it sounded sexy without sounding porny, because that's the other thing, is when you are looking for a piece of music like that, that's technically very generic, anything that's supposed to sound quote-unquote sexy usually ends up, either not being free or sounding like it's out of, you know, a friggin' 1970s porno movie where everybody's got big old mustaches and nobody knew how to shave, you know? That kind of thing. So I found this piece of music and I thought, okay, I really want to use this. I really want to do something with this. And that's when it kind of hit me. These two people are sitting in a living room, ostensibly. They're chilling after a tough day or whatever it was. And what are they most likely doing? Besides, you know, eventually oral sex. They're probably watching TV. Or they've got some sort of a streaming service on, or a video game or something, right? There's some sort of artistic something, some sort of medium on in the background. All right, I can work with that. Because that little detail is my chance for immersion. And that's my chance to play and my chance to set us apart. So I found a different piece of music for the first part that was a little happier, a little more upbeat, a little more start of the evening, higher energy. Haven't quite settled into the relaxing part of the evening yet. That was the vibe of the first piece of music. And then the original piece of music that I found just made sense for later. Because the other thing that was in this script that I had to figure out how to handle was a time shift. So they go to make tea, and it actually, after they come back, there is a passage of time there. So it's later on in the evening. They've been together for a bit longer that night. And it's just a different atmosphere. It's supposed to be more relaxed. It's supposed to be, you know, a little further in. They've decompressed a little. They've had a chance to unwind a little. So I wanted the music to reflect that. Plus, I got thinking about it. There was a good chance that they were still sitting on the menu on Netflix. Because in my head, that's what they had on was Netflix. And I don't know if anybody's familiar with this, probably, or if they just don't pay attention like I do, because it's something that I thought was really cool and not at the same time, because it was kind of annoying. But on Netflix, if it's not a Netflix original, there's this thing that they do now, and it wasn't always the case, but it's this thing that they do now. If you hover on it, like you land on it and you stay there, they will show you sound free clips from the movie or TV show or whatever it is that you're on, cut together like a trailer, but you don't hear, because they're sound free, obviously, you don't hear the dialogue, you don't hear what's going on in the clips. And they put this this generic music over top, and they have about four or five different types, and it depends on the genre of whatever you're watching, which one they use. So if it's a romantic comedy, it gets one. If it's a horror movie, it gets a different one. If it's an adventure one, it gets a different one. If it's a straight up comedy, like stuff like that, right? So they have these generic pieces of music that if you just happen to have the TV on and Netflix on or your computer on or whatever, and you're on something, but you're not watching it, this is what plays. So that was kind of what I thought was going on in the background. And that was my justification for the music. And I just realized that was a really long roundabout way of saying, I thought there was a Netflix menu in the background, so that's why there's music. Really, it should have been like literally two sentences, and I just dragged it out over however many minutes. Sorry about that. So anyway, that was the music. I actually got a message, a couple of them. I do tend to get messages like this when I do full immersion, asking me why I quote unquote ruin things by messing around with the music and adding unnecessary things. And this is why. I want you to feel like you're there. I want you to feel like you're in that apartment. I want you to feel like you're sitting on a couch getting a blowjob from a friend of yours, right? That's the whole point. And if a little bit of music in the background is going to help with that, let's do it, right? So that was the major part of the soundscape, which was not in, like, there was no expectation from the script of anything that intricate or elaborate. The only sound effects indicated in the script, and they were optional, was the tea. Going and, you know, getting the tea and whatever. And even that, I kind of wanted to do something different because I used that as my time shift, right? Did some fading in and out and whatever. But I also, sorry, I just changed positions here, laid down. The other thing that I wanted to do is having effects like that, especially when I can move around, like the characters moving around, like at one point my voice is in one channel and not the other, because I'm in another room, right? When you're sitting with me, we're all in the center channels, everything's good. But what I want to avoid is this wall of sound in front of you. Like you're sitting in a theater watching a play. You're not part of it, you're watching it. And if all of your sound is in front of you, and that's what it tends to feel like on those center channels when everything's dead center, it's not as immersive. So by sending her off to one side, first of all, it signifies that she's left the room. And second of all, it gives me a chance to create space around you so it feels like you're in that room. And that's why I do a lot of the panning effects that I do, left and right and what have you. It's why when you hear things like, what was it? Is it a history lesson? Where I had the footsteps, his and hers, and one in each ear, one set in each ear, because I literally wanted you to feel like there was people walking on either side of you, to create that space. So it creates that three-dimensional space around you, which is funny because it's actually a trick that I use when I'm mastering music songs, when I'm layering in the vocal track in over the instrumental tracks. Because if you don't create the wall of sound behind the vocal and you don't create sort of that hole within the instrumental for the vocal to sit inside of, all of a sudden you have the singer way out front and the music behind, and it sounds disjointed and horrible. So by sort of playing a little bit with, at its very basic level, with the left and right channels, that is part of how I create space in the instrumental track to then set in the vocal track on a song. So I applied the same principle to this. I'm going to use the left and the right channels to open up the room. Because all of a sudden, when I go to the left, this space that was just dead air over there, there's nothing there for you when you're first listening. Now all of a sudden there's something over there. That's another room that she's in. And you're kind of over there with her. So that was kind of the mindset behind how those effects were built. And again, the passage of time is a lot easier when you can play with effects like that. Because the passage of time in an audio is the bane of a lot of people's existence trying to figure out how to illustrate it. And actually, I know performers that will not fill a script if there's a time passage in it. Because it's very difficult to do in audio form without having somebody be like, oh, remember what you said like 3 hours ago, and being like all gimmicky and shit. Nobody wants that. So Fix had written this perfect transition, and I just had to bring it to life. And that effect that he sort of placed right in the center of the script kind of lent itself perfectly to the change, which was awesome. So no real big mystery to that. Just that was kind of the thought process behind it. And here we are. So what started as this simple blowjob audio became a fully soundscaped behemoth performer that people seemed to really like. And I was very happy about that. Because, well, I like it when my audios do well, but I also like it when a script that hasn't necessarily received a lot of attention for the author does something like that, because it's awesome, right? It goes sort of out into the ether and becomes this big phenomenon. And you all know how much of a fan I am of making sure my authors are appreciated and get their accolades. So it's really great that this audio did as well as it did for such a simple premise. And that it was written in such a way that even though the premise was simple, it wasn't written to be simple. It didn't feel simple. It felt like a real human story. And that was awesome. So yeah, that was one good favor. The performance on it was good, like I said. Continues to still get upvotes and things, which is awesome. The play count is still huge. I actually just checked the play count, and it's up over 11,000 now. So, like, holy crap, you guys are amazing. Keep listening, because that, to me, those are accolades that go to the writer as much as they are to me. And I want the writers to be showered with that stuff. So, but yeah, I think that's all I have to say about that one. I'm starting to lose steam here. I was drinking coffee at 10:30 and I don't think I drank enough. Anyway, that's the process. Pretty straightforward, pretty easy. That script was just terrific for what seemed to be such a simple scenario and really wasn't, in the grand scheme of things. And Fix, as always, was just brilliant at what he does. And I was very fortunate to be able to fill that. So I'm going to go to bed, I think, because my brain is literally shutting down. I'm getting to the point where I'm going to start saying things that I don't actually know what I'm saying, because my brain's like, no, we're done. But my mouth will keep going, which is a very interesting feeling. So the next spotlight will be coming soon. There's also some really interesting things coming to the boudoir this week, so keep an eye out. Big thanks to Fix for the amazing script, One Good Favor. If you haven't had a chance to check out the script, the link is in the original post. I will touch base soon. Thanks, guys.